Thank you for checking out Random Musings from the Clinical Trials Guru. It really means a lot to me that you're listening to this podcast. If you listen and you like the content, then make sure you subscribe, make sure you leave a review. Please do that. And also go check me out on some of my other platforms. I have a long-running YouTube channel. I've got a blog, theclinicaltrialsguru.com. If you're interested in becoming a CRA or you're interested in getting a career in this industry, go to thecraacademy.com. If you're a research site owner interested in getting more studies for your site or negotiating better contracts for your site, go to my blog, theclinicaltrialsguru.com, and check it out. I offer consulting services. If you're a pharma, biotech, life sciences company, a CRO, I own a startup CRO, and we're here to help you, whatever it is you want. If you're a CRO, we can white label a lot of services for you. We have CRA coverage across the country at cost. We can do this at scale. If you're a pharma company, we are a full service CRO, and we're very confident in our pricing, and we are extremely competitive at bidding. And if you're also interested in your own digital marketing and leveraging a podcast maybe for yourself, reach out to me, dan@theclinicaltrialsguru.com. Again, thank you very much and enjoy the show. Guru Nation, welcome to another episode of Random Musings from the Clinical Trials Guru. Recording a podcast here late, episode 238. You like that? 238?
Yeah, what are you recording on that?
This is going on Instagram and Snapchat. It's just another way to get these people to, if they didn't ever listen to the podcast.
So you're trying to drive traffic to this recording?
Yes. 238? I'm manipulating people's actions.
Okay.
If you want the textbook definition.
But big manipulator.
No, we're trying. I mean, what else can you do? How else are we going to compete with the big boys and girls? It is 2019.
That it is. Can't argue with that.
Well, let's not get in trouble. Let's just start talking about
would research. I take us down that road?
Yes. Just start talking about clinical research, everybody.
No, I would do that.
Is that good? Okay.
Sure.
Clinical research. I think that's safer.
Okay.
So we have a book coming out. Shameless plug. I don't even know the title of it yet, honestly. But we're about 22,000 words deep. I'm thinking comprehensive guide to clinical research because I want it to be more like a textbook. But then we're also going to have the audiobook. Or I'm thinking something more playful as the title.
What, Clinical Research for Dummies?
It's something like that, but without getting sued by publishers.
Very much sued.
Something, like one of those two extremes, right?
Right.
I don't know. We'll figure it out. I think I'm liking the Comprehensive Guide to Clinical
Research. Everything you want to know about research and then some?
Well, if it's the Comprehensive Guide to Clinical Research, we can have a subtitle. Perfect for beginners or even non-beginners to learn about research.
Sure.
Right? Something like that. And the audiobook. So right now when you're listening, this is why the podcast is cool.
Yeah, I got a plug.
They get the behind the scenes. Plug. Yeah, yeah, go ahead. Plug it. Plug whatever you want.
You obviously have to agree to this, but I think this would be a good plug. If the audience comes up with a title we use, they get a free book.
Okay. I'm okay. The problem with me is not that idea. It's the time.
Sure. It has to be in the next 4 weeks within.
Okay, so if you're watching that or listening, send me an email, dan@theclinicaltrialsguru.com, with the subject. Put it in the subject, book title.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And if it's used, a free book, free copy.
It's actually a really, really good idea, Chris. All right. And if I don't like any, nobody gets a free book.
That's right.
Got to buy it. But we got some special promos for anyone subscribed to the email list. Mm-hmm. So right now when you're listening to this, this is why the podcasts are cool. It gives them behind-the-scenes glimpse into what we're doing. Right. It's February 19th, 2019. We want the complete rough draft done by March 1st. It's currently, then we're going to get it edited, and it'll be done by April 1st. April Fools. And then I don't want to launch it on that day because I'm superstitious. But we will launch it sometime in April. I'm being serious.
April 13th.
If that's a Friday, no.
Yeah, hopefully.
Check your calendar right now. I doubt it, because last year was Friday the 13th.
What's wrong with April 1st?
It's April Fool's. I don't want people to think it's a joke when I send a mass email.
Oh.
Because our offers are going to be so good, people are going to think we're joking.
Ah.
So I don't want that. All right. Were you checking what it is?
Yeah, April 13th is Saturday.
Damn, missed it by one day. So people get to listen in, look in. This is going to go on YouTube also. And I actually forgot where I was going to go with that. But we're in the process of writing a book. And, oh, here we go. We're going to have an audiobook component.
This is true.
So as soon as the book's done, you and I are going to rent a audio, I don't even know what they're called, like recording studio.
Yeah.
Kobe knows someone who owns one. So we're just going to rent, hopefully it doesn't take longer than a day, but it might take 2 days. We're going to have a videographer in there filming the whole thing.
And who's this going to be?
Either Finally or Dominique. I don't know, whoever's available and charges less.
Okay.
Or Kobe. Kobe will do it for free. So it's, I'm leaning towards Kobe right now. The audiobook's going to be like, you're almost going to have to buy both. Because the textbook, we wanted to keep it serious. It's an easy read. Like a lay person can pick it up and understand. But we can't go off script in the textbook and go off on tangents like we do here on the podcast. But on the audiobook, that's what we're going to do. We're going to read it, and then we're going to stop at certain parts that we want to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Go completely off script. Talk about real-world experiences we've had with that topic. It's going to be great. People are going to have to buy both. Not have to, but I hope they do buy both.
They will want to buy
both. They're going to want to buy both. Thank you. So anyways, enough of that. But you should all be looking forward to this book. Subscribe to the email list for more info. You'll be hearing a lot more about it soon.
Me? You're looking at me. You mean
you'll
them.
Be hearing a lot them. More about it too. Them in podcast world and them on YouTube and Facebook and probably just those two worlds, okay. Right?
Yep.
And Instagram world. So today's podcast is going to be the three main reasons why a site fails, right? So I'm going to give you the three. Lack of studies, lack of patience, lack of quality / staffing issues. And you can even add a fourth, but it's not as catchy. Physicians. Lack of physician.
Lack of a PI.
Well, okay. If you have a PI, if you have a site, you have a PI.
Sure, but what if your PI says I'm out of here, I'm done.
Right, so let's add that fourth one then. Lack of PI. Or lack of physicians buy-in, right? Which you can argue is part of the staffing issue too.
Yeah.
That's why I like that.
Surely happens.
So let's go. First of all, do you think anything's missing from this?
I thought lack of PI, which we now added.
Right. Well, that's part of staffing too. But okay.
Sure.
Obviously, people are listening or watching going to be like, well, it's always about money. Yes, money is everything. But these all relate to money.
That all captures revenue.
Right. So, all right, let's go first. Lack of studies. Let's say this is how a site fails, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you get a lot of people this year, 2019, and last year also, wanting to open sites. When we've been consulting for, 5 years now with sites?
Mm-hmm.
We've been involved in the industry for over a decade, but we've been consulting, helping others like you listening and watching open up a site for 5 years. We've already seen people go out of business. Now, luckily, we've seen many be very successful.
Yes, but I would say this year, you're less likely to go out of business than most any other year.
Why?
Just very busy this year.
Why?
There's a lot of studies.
Why?
Economy's good? I don't know why.
I don't know either. I just wanted to see how far you can go.
You want to harass me, huh?
I wanted to see how far you're willing to go with that.
Okay.
Okay, so this year is like even fools can do well.
I don't know about
is what you're saying.
I don't know if fools, but...
A rising tide raises all ships.
Yeah, I think, you know, a fool's going to have a difficult time anytime. But, it, you know...
But this year is very forgiving.
More so than most, yes.
Okay.
More so than most. So, yeah, I think if you're going to start a site, this is the year to do it.
But back to what I was saying. We've been doing this for 5 years, and we love to talk about the success stories. I even interviewed them.
Right.
You know, hey... This person went from 0 to 2 million in 18 months. This person's, we made them a millionaire. Some of these sites do better than we do. We get jealous. We get a little jelly.
I actually don't.
I get a little jelly, but then I'm like, you know what? But their ingredients, everyone has different raw ingredients, right?
Yep.
So we talk a lot about that, but the reality is there's a lot just as many that fail, maybe more that fail. And then we have everyone else in the middle who's doing well or just breaking even, or, you know, people that start, like, have started sites since we've started consulting, right?
So,
like, people have gone out of business.
Yes,
and we've seen why.
But I don't think most do.
So, okay, so explain that. So, the ones that have gone out of business, it was due to one of these reasons. Lack of patience.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Of course. Lack of staffing. And this, yes, well, this includes those CRAs that try to do both.
I think it's a bleed over. I think it's a bleed over, but I think lack of time for some.
Right. Lack of quality / staff. / systems, you can put.
Right.
Let me revise that. / systems.
Because we have a lot that are still operating as CRAs.
Yes, I was going to go there. We got so many CRAs.
So you get lack of time because they're still working as a CRA. And, you know, it requires 60 hours a week of their time, full time. And then they're trying to run a site, right? And trying to be the coordinator at that site.
And something's got to give, and they go back to what they're comfortable with.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
Because this is a risk. It's more rewarding to own a site.
We've seen that happen like 3-4 times.
I think a little more than that, but yeah. Like,
well,
it happens.
What comes to mind, 3-4 times.
Right. So, but you said something interesting. You said once the site gets some traction, meaning some studies and some patients, and starts developing even a rudimentary system.
Right.
It's kind of hard to go out of business, right?
Well, it's more difficult.
So why is that? What is it about this industry that allows, that is so forgiving?
Well, so one, and one of the reasons you have for failure, which is data, right? If you're doing exceptionally well at the other aspects, that really plays no consideration.
Right. Dr. Kingsley, who I interviewed.
Very little.
Dr. Kingsley, a thought leader in the industry, has said that. And he's trying to push for a pay-for-performance model for sites, which is never going to happen.
Right.
Sorry, Dr. Kingsley, it's just not going to happen.
Right.
But I know he listens.
So it's certainly forgiving in that nature, right? You can't.
So you can get away with lack of quality for the most part, as long as you're enrolling patients.
Yeah, so as long as you're doing well. And sometimes, you know, you have to counterbalance the two. So if your capability of gathering data is horrendous, like awful, then you need to be doing the opposite of that on the other end of the scale as far as recruitment, right? You need to do exceptionally well, like one of the top enrollers.
Okay.
In my opinion.
And have a key opinion leader as a PI.
Wouldn't hurt.
Speaking of PIs, I know a lot of sites that fail when they just when they're about to get going, like getting traction, getting studies, even enrolling patients, the PIs leave for a number of reasons, and we've talked about this before. Either the PIs are not happy with not getting paid, which always comes after the work, and maybe 3 months after the work.
It could even be a little longer.
It could be even be longer, and they get fed up with that. Or they see that the site's doing so well, and they're like, you know what? I don't need these people. I'm going to do this on my own.
Yep.
And the sponsors are coming to me anyways for the studies.
Yep.
And there's nothing that this person who made me sign this contract can do about it.
Well, there's things they can do. They just probably won't work in their benefit.
Right. Even if you lock the PI into a contract, you can go sue them, but it's like $200,000 to go sue somebody.
Right.
So if you have $200,000 lying around to prove a point, go ahead and do it. Otherwise, I suggest you find other PIs.
Well, even if it's not $200,000, even if it's $50,000, it's still a lot of money.
Right. So people go out of business or fail, sites fail, because their PIs get upset, PIs retire, PIs no longer want to do research, and then the site has nobody left. Like, they didn't do enough prospecting for physicians. They got happy when they got their first PI, and that's it.
Yep.
Then they forgot that they need to always be recruiting PIs, right?
They do.
So what do you think about this?
Yeah, I don't really have anything to add. I mean,
should a site be content when they get a PI?
No, absolutely. For a number of reasons, you need to have more than one PI, really.
How long do you allow them to celebrate their victory? I give them a week.
Oh, I give them longer than that.
Okay, how long? I'm kidding.
Especially if...
I give them like a quarter.
Especially if they're research naive, I think it's best to stick with the one PI for a little while. I think that works in your benefit.
Right.
Because work out the kinks with the one. Don't screw up with two.
Right, but what if, I mean, you run the risk of, you know, the PA saying, hey, no, research not for me.
Yeah, you do.
Right before you get a study.
Yeah, that can happen.
I mean, so I give them like 3 months maximum to like be content.
Okay.
But you really shouldn't. You should not even stop after you get that first PA.
Right. And it's not just because the PA may leave, but it also opens other doors.
Right.
If you have more than one PI in different therapeutic areas.
Yeah. Now, with the one PI, I subscribe to this summary. It's called Blinkist.
No,
they're not a sponsor or anything. Blinkist? It's like a book summaries in an app. I pay for it. It's like 80 bucks a year.
I think I've seen that.
It's like 80 bucks a year. It's really cool. So I read a summary of the Lean Startup.
Okay.
And I did a one-minute video on this last week. But it talks about startup companies. You know, rather than having the owners overthink things, it really boils down to having a minimal viable product. And for a research site, that minimal viable product is getting your PI. And then getting a study for that PI and getting patients.
Sure.
That's your minimal viable product. Now, that doesn't mean you stop there once you have that. It means now you have a product to figure out a system for you to build on top of.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
Should sites focus? I believe the sites should next focus on, after they get some studies, obviously focus on getting patients for those studies. After getting that first study, get patients.
You want to get paid.
Yes. But like building systems. You know, first get the biz dev, get the patients going. Quality, as much as I hate to say
it. Well, I would say your best bet is to have an idea on how you're going to get patients before you even get into business.
Right. Make sure, or before you even get your PI, like have that discussion with the PI.
Yeah.
Are you contributing patients? Okay, because that's going to affect how we're paying you. Like a higher percentage if you refer patients. If you don't have your own database of patients, and I have to go, me as the site owner has to go recruit, well, I'm going to pay you less.
Yeah.
Right? So that, as much as I hate to say it, and maybe people will hate us for this, quality is like last thing to worry about. You got to worry about it. It's very important.
Well, it does make a minimal difference, right? I think it makes a large difference if you're not a great enroller.
Yes.
I think it makes a large difference.
I agree with you, but let's assume you are.
Sure.
You know,
then it makes no difference, or very little.
And at some point, you've got to work on your quality, but I think you have a year to figure it out.
Sure.
You have a year to figure it out. So your first year, you should be working out all these kinks, building these systems, work on your quality, you know, have SOPs. We do that for our clients. We give them SOPs. We try to pour gasoline on the fire. They have a little kindling.
Sure.
We pour some gasoline on it. But quality is important. But I think from these three things, even though it's on the list of reasons why sites fail, it's like grouped in with staffing and lack of systems.
Well, there is a concern, right?
And others agree with me, too. Dr. Kingsley is one.
I agree, but just from practice, I've seen where we've had clients who are good at enrollment, but they get put on screening holds, right?
Yeah.
Because they're new, they're research naive, and they're saying the wrong thing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to name any names. We have a client that was doing well in enrollment, and about 3 months into the study, somebody at the site mentioned that everybody shares passwords.
Wow. Oh, do I know this person?
Yeah.
Are they still doing business?
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
well, that shows you right there. They committed like a cardinal sin in research and they're still in business.
But they lost that study.
Sure.
And they were a good enroller.
But they're still in business.
So I'm saying you can't just be asinine. You can't.
Right.
You can't just do ridiculous things.
That was stupid.
Yeah, they just didn't know.
Right.
I didn't know. I had to inform them. Unfortunately, I think it can be blamed a little bit too. That hey, you can't share passwords. Right.
You have to have quality. You got to pay attention to that. But
well, that's not quality though. Really, that's more just kind of a rule. Right. It doesn't have anything to do with the data, other than.
It's a lack of systems, though.
Sure.
And you know what? Quality could, as much as we're, I don't want to downplay quality, but as I suggested, you know, obviously that could be your last one that you fix, the last system in your business.
Yeah. You need to have at least a minute amount of quality, right?
Yes, you have to have a minimal threshold. But yes, poor quality can lead to the other things declining. Like the most common one is poor quality by a new site. Then you get angry monitors, right?
Yep.
And who do the angry monitors talk to? The PI. Yep. And if it's a novice PI,
you're going to drive that PI away.
You're going to scare the PI away. We've seen this happen before, too.
Yep.
They say, I don't want this. And on top of all this, I've yet to get paid.
Yep.
Screw this, Chris Auber. I'm out of here.
Yeah, very well, right? Could happen.
And now you got a real problem. You already have a problem. Poor quality.
Yeah.
Now you got a no PI.
Yeah. It's exponentially getting more difficult.
Now you have no more minimal viable product.
That's right.
Right? So, again, got to recruit more PIs to your clinic. Got to get more studies. That pipeline has to be full. In a year like 2019, I don't care who you are, there is no reason you shouldn't have studies right now.
Right.
Even our brand new clients get studies. Yep. Clients that know nothing about research get studies.
That's exactly right.
They have a minimal viable product and they get studies.
Mm-hmm.
You just talked to one before we started recording.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
What else are we missing? Lack of patience. So let's talk a little bit about this before we wrap up.
Yeah, well, we've already kind of hit on that a bit. Right?
They should come from...
Well, hopefully they come from the doctor, the PI.
That's right. That's right. And if not...
They don't have to.
Right. They don't have to. But it's in our anecdotal experiences, the sites that are able to recruit from the PI's own database do much better.
Yep.
Right?
Absolutely true.
What happens to the sites that rely on their own internal marketing capabilities?
It can work. It's just much more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I won't go so far as to say you're setting yourself up for failure, but...
But you are.
Unless you have some sort of system in place. If you're going into this... here's another expression, half-cocked.
Ah, hey, it is an adult program. It's only YouTube.
That's not what that means.
Oh. You know your grandkids will listen to this once? Your grandkids will one day listen in the future and say, I wanted to hear what my granddad did at work. And they're just going to randomly get to that point.
Well, they can Google. Well, it won't be Google probably by then. It'll be something else.
It'll be just thinking it.
Right. And they'll see half-cocked used to mean... You have
the gun.
A revolver.
I get it, Chris.
Okay. Anyhow, so...
It's fine.
Well, now you got me thinking about my my children down the
Your
road.
Your legacy.
Yeah, not legacy. I don't care about that so much. But, you know, I don't want to negatively influence my offspring.
That's right.
Offspring, but...
Chris Harper offspring, you know, it means something totally different. You learn one day.
Yeah, sure. Anyhow, so now I've completely forgot what I was talking about.
Me too, but that's what makes the podcast cool.
All right, so...
You gotta buy the book to learn more. I guess that's how we can end it. Buy the book. Although we don't really... Yeah, we do talk about this in the book.
We talk about recruitment?
We talk about business and running a site.
Oh, plan. Unless you have a plan in place.
For recruiting.
For recruiting on your own without... PI's help.
But even if you have... Okay, this is a good point. I'm glad we didn't just end the podcast with your nonsense there at the end.
That was yours.
Yeah, it was mine. Okay, even if you have a plan, let's say the patients are not coming from the PI's database. So now, like, they're listening to you. They made a plan.
Right.
Your plan doesn't mean shit.
It depends. And
you have to you have to test it. What
right.
are you doing?
It depends on the plan. Right? If your plan is, yes, I'm a registered nurse, and I have a network of physicians that are my friends and buddies, and I've already talked to them about going into business, and they're all going to refer me patients, and they're all from different therapeutic areas. Yeah, okay, you kind of have a plan.
That would be sweet. And
you kind of have a plan.
And now you have a bunch of potential PIs, too.
Right, but none of them want to be PI. They just want to refer. Right?
Not yet.
Too busy.
Not yet.
Sure, but I'm too busy. I'll just refer you patients.
That's where you come in and educate them.
And you know what? I love you, RN. I'll even give you access to my database.
But that's right. Where you as an entrepreneur come in and educate them later. Hey, you know, it's not that much work to be a PI,
yeah,
actually.
But my point is, it depends on your plan.
Right. Very good. Very good. That's a good plan.
If your plan is, well, you know what, it depends on the study I get, and then I'll make ideas and come up with ideas and find venues to
run
these patients.
I'll run ads on Facebook and Craigslist and cross my fingers.
Yeah, isn't that a great plan?
No.
So might it's good. Work. It might work.
No, people need
might,
to know.
No, it might work. Might. Sure. More than likely, it won't.
People need to know the hard reality of this.
Sure.
So that's three ways the site fails. Maybe four.
And why do you need patience? We didn't even say. Other than you we kind of briefly paid. Touched on it. But.
You don't get paid unless you enroll patients.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some people think that we talk to think that if you open a private clinic, you're like the NIH. You just get grants for being in business.
Yeah.
I wish that was the case. Wouldn't you know how many grants we'd be writing? Yeah. Wouldn't be doing this podcast. We'd be writing grants.
Exactly.
Okay. So no, you only get paid based off of enrollment. You're not Harvard or Yale.
Correct. Yeah.
Right? Anything else?
I think we touched on everything.
Get the book. You'll be hearing a lot more about it, right? Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Chris. Catch you all later.
Well, I got one question.
Go ahead.
Is this what the book will sound like, the audio part?
Yeah,
audio
it actually version? Is going to sound. Thank you. Yes, it will.
Okay.
Maybe with like, we can curse in there too. You can bring out another half-cock reference. You can.
Sure, but I don't know if cursing would be appropriate.
That's a philosophical decision.
But joking around's okay.
Yeah,
I would agree with joking around's okay. I just don't like the cursing part. But okay,
philosophical.
I was just curious where your head was at.
It's not like we curse that much, anyways.
Of course.
Well, occasionally, at least not on air that much.
Right.
All right. This is what the book will sound like. We go off script, so you have to get both.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Take care.
So hey everybody, thank you very much for listening to another episode of Random Musings from the Clinical Trials Guru. Again, if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to this podcast. Make sure you leave a review, if you could be so kind, please. And also go to theclinicaltrialsguru.com if you're interested in learning more about who I am, who some of my guests are. You can have access to some of my YouTube videos. I do a lot of videos about clinical research. So go to theclinicaltrialsguru.com. And you can also call or text me anytime, 949-415-6256. Also follow me on any social media platform. It's Dan Svera. And you can also email me if you'd like, dan@theclinicaltrialsguru.com. Thank you very much.